Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
Did you know that words in English can be different depending on the country you're visiting? Ethan and I have often spoken about these differences on the podcast, but today's episode is extra special. Not only will you learn about vocabulary differences between American and British English, but you'll also learn about different words in South African English with our special guest. So get ready to have a lot of fun laughing and learning with us today.
Yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
inspiring
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, riding on the bus, training your dog and cat, or even
Brian.
I'm joined here in the global studio, as always, first off, by the lovely Andrea. How's it going, Andrea?
It's going good, thank you. I'm very excited for today's podcast episode.
Me too, because we have a new team member who has joined the team for a little over a week, and we thought that she'd be a perfect addition to this week's podcast. So welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, Kase.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
And where are you joining us from?
I'm from Cape Town, South Africa.
Great. So you're almost directly south of us. If we were to fly like a straight line down or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We arrive in South Africa. It's definitely on the high on my list of places to visit. So maybe when the pandemic is over. And you mentioned that you could listen while you're braaiing or having a braai. What is a braai?
A braai is basically the South African version of barbecuing. We don't use gas though. We use charcoal and wood strictly, and something we call fire lighters or blitz. It's basically what you use to start the fire. So you need the blitz to get the fire going.
The blitz. I think in American English it might be like an igniter or a fire starter. Maybe it's like a really obvious name, but that's really interesting. I've never heard. I think blitz in American English just refers to like something in American football.
Yeah, the blitz reminds me of a very difficult day, I think, during World War II as well, that happened in London. Yeah, so it's an interesting word.
So we're going to have a lot more differences like that in American, British, and South African English in today's podcast. I'm sure it'll be new to a lot of you. But before we get into that, we have a shout out to a very special listener out there.
So today's shout out comes from Neff. And they say, I have been using the app and listening to your podcasts for almost 4 months now, and I have to tell you that it's absolutely awesome. You guys not only have helped me improve my language skills, but also made me feel much more confident when speaking in English, since I have been putting into practice all the tips you have given us since then. Thank you very much for your support.
That's amazing. And they said it's an absolutely awesome way to learn English. I'm curious, because awesome is super American. In the UK, you might say like brilliant. Is there something, an equivalent of that word in South African English?
Yeah, here we would probably say something like, oh, it's lekker. Like we say when something's really good, it's lekker. Yeah.
That comes from Dutch or from Afrikaans, right?
Afrikaans, that's exactly right. So we would say something is lekker when it's either fun or exciting, or it could be lekker if it's enjoyable, you know. So yeah.
Right, it's really funny because it reminds me of the word in German for delicious.
I was gonna say the same thing.
Yeah
that's so interesting. I thought, oh, it's tasty.
That's amazing. We're already getting into some really great differences. And thanks so much again, Neff, for taking the time to leave that. So if you're enjoying this podcast, be sure to go and download the Real Life English app in your favorite app store. And you can listen to this and many, many, many more episodes of our podcast with a full transcript and vocabulary. And as well, anytime and anywhere, speak with people from around the world at the touch of a button. And if you enjoy the experience, be sure to leave us a 5-star review so we can shout you out too. Before we get into today's main topic, we have a burning question from another one of our listeners.
Yes, today's burning question was sent in from Julia in Poland. She says, "Hi, Real Life English. I've been using your app for a few months, and I want to thank you for all that you're doing for English learners from all around the world. I'm writing to you because I have a problem with using two words, historic and historical. I'm not really sure when I should use them, and I'm also interested if I can use them interchangeably. Thank you in advance, Julia."
Thanks so much, first of all, Julia, for your question. And if, before we get into the answer, Andrea, if any of our listeners also have a burning question, where can they send that?
So it would be amazing if you send in an audio stating your name and where you're from and your burning question, and then you can email it to me, andrea@reallifeglobal.com.
Awesome. So what is the difference between historic and historical?
Yeah, so historic means important or likely to be important in history. So it's easier to kind of understand these two words with some examples. So in a sentence, you could say, "I feel that this is a historic moment for our country."
That's a perfect example. And then on the other hand, what would historical be?
So historical means related to the study of things from the past. So you could say that you love reading historical novels, or maybe archaeologists found a large number of historical objects when they excavated the field. So it's related more to the study of things from the past rather than describing an event.
Right. So that said, they are not exactly interchangeable. So you wouldn't say probably like a historic novel, because that would be a novel that could be important or could be remembered for a long time. Whereas if you're probably actually wanting to say a historical novel, meaning like a novel, or historical fiction, meaning a book that would be about something that took place in the past.
Exactly, yeah. So really you kind of have to be careful, like think about the meaning of each one so that you can select it carefully.
Exactly. And that's a great topic for today, because obviously English language originally came from the UK, but now it's spoken in many different countries as a first language, as a second language, as a lingua franca. And that has all to do with history. So getting into today's main topic, all about English differences from the UK, the US, and South Africa. Hey there, Real Lifer. Have you downloaded the Real Life English app yet? On the app, Andrea and I will guide you beyond the classroom to live, learn, and even speak English in the real world. So how do we do this? To start with, you can listen to the Real Life English podcast and Beyond Borders talk show, even this very episode, with digital transcripts so that you can follow along and develop your listening fluency. Plus, check dozens of definitions of all the most difficult vocabulary, idioms, phrasal verbs, slang, and so much more that you won't find anywhere else or in any other podcast. And how would you like to develop real-life speaking confidence at the touch of a button by speaking with other learners while making friends across cultures? Sounds like a dream, right? Well, now with the Real Life app, it will be a dream come true. Download the app to listen to our podcast with transcripts and definitions whenever and wherever you want, and speak with people from all around the world. What are you waiting for? Join our global community today by clicking the link in the description of this podcast or by going to www.reallifeglobal.com/app. That's APP. Or simply search for the Real Life English app in the Google Play or Apple App Store today, and let us guide you beyond the classroom to live and learn and speak English in the real world. Ah, yeah.
So South Africa is an incredibly diverse country in terms of race, religion, culture, and especially language. So here we have 11 official languages. And as you can imagine, all of them influence how people speak and understand English. In my case, I am bilingual, so I speak English as my first language, but I also speak Afrikaans, which is very similar to Dutch. And I just want to say, though, that with my answers today, I cannot possibly represent every South African, but I will try my best to at least represent Cape Town. Here we use a lot of Afrikaans and English sort of mixed together, and it's very common for people to use words that are sort of a combination of the two languages.
So the first one we're going to talk about is a type of footwear that's really comfortable that you could wear every day. Maybe you could wear them to the gym or when you go out walking and things like that. So what would you call these, Ethan?
Probably sneakers or maybe tennies, which is short for tennis shoes.
And Kase, what would you call them in South Africa?
We would probably call them tackies. So tackies, yeah, I guess they come from tennis shoes and something else. But yeah, definitely tackies. There's no other word we would use to describe those type of shoes. Tackies.
Wow, that's such a different word.
The A sometimes becomes tickies because there's so many different dialects here. So tacky or ticky?
Makes me think of technology if you say like ticky.
Yeah. I was thinking too of tacky is like corny or cheesy. So if you said you could say like someone had some, in American English, would be like some tacky sneakers or something, which would be like maybe really colorful or with like some weird pieces on them. It's like something that really stuck out. Could you say tacky tackies in South Africa?
Yeah. People would understand exactly what you mean. Tacky tackies. Yeah.
Well, it's different in the UK as well. We would call these trainers.
That one I have heard before. I think on this very podcast.
Yeah, most probably.
They're not as fun. Not as fun as the South African version, though, the American.
No, and, I do like the South African, yeah.
So are trainers only used for training, though? Is it a sports, only for sports?
No, this is just the general word for all types. So you might have tennis trainers so that you could wear on different surfaces. You might have just trainers that you wear every day. You could have gym trainers. It's just the general word for all of these types of shoes.
Sneakers also aren't used just for sneaking.
Okay, so the next one is a drink. So you'd probably think of Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Sprite, Fanta, these types of drinks. What do you call those in America, Ethan?
There's a big discussion around this because depending where you go in the USA, you could hear different things. So you could hear soda, you could hear pop, or you could even hear soda pop.
Nice. And how about in South Africa?
We would call it cold drink.
Cold drink.
Cold drink or cool drink. Most commonly, it would be called cool drink because it's not always cold.
Wow.
It's not always served cold. It's cold drink.
Yeah.
That's really interesting because it's very literal, isn't it? Compared to, I suppose it's to be an opposed from, as opposed to having a coffee or a hot chocolate, which would be a hot drink.
I have heard that in the UK as well. Like sometimes maybe if you sit down when you've gone out to eat and you say, what are you going to drink? Oh, I'll probably just have a cold drink. I have heard that, not cool drink, but a cold drink. But generally we would call this a soft drink because you're not having like alcohol or anything. Because we wouldn't use soda because I think people would think of a specific drink, you know, that type of like fizzy water, like a soda water or something.
Yeah. It's not called a fizzy drink. Was that Australian?
Yeah, that's true. See, we do have quite a few in the UK. You're right. I think that they do say fizzy drink in Australia, but we do use it in the UK as well. Yeah, because it's fizzy. Or like fizzy water instead of sparkling water, you can say fizzy water.
I love that. Yeah, that's funny too. If you're in the supermarket in the US, the section or the aisle that would have these kind of drinks would be like the soft drink section. So we use that word as well. It's just kind of more formal or more having to do with kind of, I don't know, the category of that or whatever. But you would never say that you're going to have a soft drink when you go out for a meal or something. You'd be much more likely to use. You have to check where you go in the US, which in that area they use.
No, here it's always It's always the same. We never say soda. We never say anything other than cool or cold.
Does someone understand in South Africa if you ask for a soda? Anything? Or
they would understand what you mean. They would understand that it's probably a Coke or a Fanta or, you know, something, a gassy cool drink. That's what we would say, a gassy drink. But gassy. No. Yeah.
Love that.
gas cool drink as opposed to like a syrup that, you know, syrup and like water that doesn't contain gas.
Yeah, like an iced tea or something like that.
Exactly. That would be a cool drink, but without the gas.
And in the UK, would soda... Because I think in some places, if you say soda, they bring you like fizzy water or soda water, sparkling water, as we call it in the US.
Yeah, because like maybe sometimes people drink... I always remember vodka, soda, and lime. Like that's kind of a typical drink, yeah, that people like. Or just soda and lime without the alcohol. It's actually really nice.
A virgin version.
Yeah. Okay, so the next one, I'm really interested to know what you call these things, because I find this so interesting when visiting restaurants, because I feel like these are going to be different for each of us. So it's when you're ordering something to eat first, not your main meal, but something you have before. So you could have something, then your main meal, and then dessert. So what's that first thing that you might order in a restaurant called?
Okay, so the first thing would be called an entree or a starter.
Ah, okay.
I think you could hear those names. For me, actually, entree I think of as the main dish, but you could also call it a starter, but you might also often see in the US appetizer or apps for short. Not to be confused with applications.
Yeah, because this is what I've heard, that entree, because I've been watching Below Deck, which is like a reality TV program, and the chef sometimes is British or American, and then there's people from all over the world working there, Australia, South Africa, everywhere. And so there's sometimes a confusion when they're talking about the entree, because I think in South Africa, as you said, Kase, this would be the starter, the first thing, but then some Americans would say that this is the main dish or the main meal. So there's some confusion there. So I think the British one is probably just the best, because it's it's a bit more clear, I think. We would say starter as well. So, you know, something to start off your meal.
That makes perfect sense.
Definitely eliminates any confusion. So yeah, I have to agree with that. It's much better.
Okay, so the next thing is when you're driving and you come to some lights that change color, like the red, yellow, green, what do you call that thing?
Well, in South Africa, we call them robots.
Robots.
See?
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
When you get to the robot, turn left.
Oh my God, that'd be like so confusing for an American, I think, going to South Africa.
Yeah, and they don't look like robots. They're just lights. So, I mean, it's nothing exciting. I don't know why they're called that, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think like most tourists, they go to South Africa and ask for directions from a local or something. And they say, when you get to the robot, turn left. They're just going to like keep driving and driving and driving, looking for some big robot on the side of the road, right?
I'm sure many tourists are confused when they hear how... When we give them directions, yeah, it's pretty confusing.
And would you say like the robot is red or it's green?
Yeah. Robot is red, robot is green, turn left at the robot.
Wow.
Oh,
that's amazing.
That's so interesting. That's so different. What do you call it, Ethan?
We call it a stoplight. So it's literally a light that you have to stop at. Not very fun. But,
yeah, because if it's green... You still call it a stoplight, because then you can go.
When it called a go light.
Yeah, but yeah, I guess it's telling you when you need to stop. We call it a traffic light.
Mm. You could hear that, I think, in the US as well, a traffic light.
I think we do hear that here too. You know, it is something that we use from time to time, but more commonly, definitely called robots.
Mm-hmm. So now we're going to kind of go back to food a little bit. We love to talk about food on this podcast. There's a few food items here. So this one is sometimes it's whole on, like, I don't know how to describe it. I don't know, like, you would call it an ear, really. But you can also get it in tins, or you can put it in salads. It's a little yellow, like, grain kind of thing. What do you call that, Ethan?
We call that corn. Okay. Now I'm really curious. I didn't know that's different in other language, in other Englishes.
Yeah. What do you call it, Cassie?
We call those millies.
Millies. Wow.
Millies.
That's funny, because you're learning Portuguese. Do you know the word for corn in Portuguese?
No.
It's milho. So it's...
Oh, milho. Okay. Yes.
It's,
okay.
A little bit similar to the Portuguese word. So I wonder if there's like the root of it maybe is the same.
I do believe so. I think, of course, Afrikaans is a combination of different languages, colonial languages, and the Portuguese were the first to settle here. So I do think
That makes sense, though, because you have some Portuguese-speaking neighbors as well there, right?
Exactly, yes.
Oh, that's interesting. So we call it corn as well, but you can also say sweet corn, especially if it's the tinned one or, you know, the small pieces. But what do you call it then if it's, because if it's whole and you're just eating it on the cob, we say corn on the cob. Do you call it the same thing, or does it have a different name?
No, it would still be a millie. And we do, however, also have millie meal. Millie meal is a porridge that is like corn flour, basically. And it's, millie meal is something that many South Africans have for breakfast. So it's very popular.
We would also call it corn on the cob.
Yeah, because I remember going to the States and having a cob salad once, and that's like a salad with lots of corn in it, isn't it?
I always thought it was named after someone named Cobb.
Okay, so the next one is, I'm using this a lot right now because it's been very windy and cold in Barcelona. Usually you can wear it all year round. When your lips get really dry, you like to put something on it to nourish them, to hydrate them so that they're not dry anymore. Do you know what I'm describing, Cassie?
Not quite. Let me think what it could be.
So it's not lipstick, but it's something more soothing.
Lip ice. Yeah, that's the one.
Lip ice.
Wow.
Is that the same for, like, men would use that as well? So it's not the same as lip gloss.
No. It's a balm. It's a soft, it could be the one in a tube or the one on a, you know, in a stick form, or one in a little tub. Lip ice.
And is there a brand named Lip Ice or something that comes from?
Exactly. There is a brand called Lip Ice, and we just went with it. So it's what we call all of them.
So that'd be the same as in the States, that the most common or the most colloquial term would be chapstick, because there's a very famous brand of it called chapstick, but the more technical term would be lip balm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the same as in the UK. I think we don't really have one brand that's the most popular. So we always call it lip balm, but maybe, like, because I use Carmex, so sometimes I just refer to it as my Carmex. I know lots of people like to use Vaseline as well, and you can get those little ones for the lip, but we call it lip balm.
Mm-hmm. You Brits are always so literal.
We like to be clear. Okay, so going back to food one more time, I had this for lunch today. I really fancied it. So it's a typical lunch, actually, in the UK, especially when you go to school and you put something in between two slices of bread to make this. What am I talking about, Ethan?
A sandwich. Is that right?
Yes, it is a sandwich. What do you call this, Cassie?
We would call it a salmi.
Oh, wow.
A salmi.
Do you know what that comes from?
Mm. I don't, actually. I think it's, I have no idea why we call it a salmi. But we do call it a sandwich, too. It's not, it's not that different.
I feel like I've heard somewhere in part of the States that they call it like a sammy, like a sandwich. Sandwich is N-D, but a lot of times it becomes like an M sound. So it's sandwich. And then I've heard Sammy. So maybe it's similar and just like the pronunciation's a bit different or something.
Yeah, see, we call it a sandwich as well. But I'm curious because Sami, we don't say Sami. That's a really different word for me. But we do sometimes say Sani. So it's more like a slang kind of just, I don't know, maybe like a cute way of referring to a sandwich, or I fancy a bacon sarnie, for example, you might hear people saying. So not with M, but with N.
That's so interesting. So there's a similar thing in all three, right?
Yeah.
And you said something else, Andrea, that was very British. So I'm curious about the South African term, but you said that you really fancied one for lunch, which in the US, I don't think you would ever hear someone say that they fancy eating something. We'd say like you really felt like it, or you were really craving a sandwich for lunch. What order do you use in South Africa?
We would say, this is a more slang or colloquial term, but we would say I really list for that. But this comes from like, it means crave. It's because of, you know, the influence of Afrikaans once again. But we would say I crave it, I fancy it. We would say that. But I think the more common everyday word for young people would be I list for that.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, like almost like lust, L-U-S, yeah. List. Yeah.
That's amazing to think about lusting for a sandwich.
It kind of makes sense because in British English as well, you could say you fancy a person. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah, it makes sense. It's interesting.
Just a quick interruption to ask you a question. Do you ever feel frustrated when you are listening to a podcast, watching a TV series, or you are in a conversation in English and you do not understand what is said? Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our Real Life Native Immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use your English in the real world. Just imagine understanding your favorite TV series without subtitles, or confidently speaking with someone and comprehending everything they say. You can do it, and we're here to help. And the best part is, you can try it for free with our 3-part Power Learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. That's P-O-D. Or simply click the link in the description of this episode.
Okay, so we have a few more. The next one is, when you get time off work, you maybe go away. What would you call that, Ethan?
It's always a big dispute with us, isn't it? It's you go on vacation.
Yeah. So we don't say this in the UK, but what do you call, do you say vacation in South Africa?
No, this would definitely be a holiday. Like I'm going on holiday. So yeah.
Yeah, it's the same in the UK. So we're in agreement on this one. This is one of those examples where it's the same. Yeah. I can't remember what it was in Australian English.
I think it was also on holiday. I think vacation is just us Americans. And for us, holiday is like what you would call bank holiday, right?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Is it the same word, bank holiday in South Africa?
We would say public holiday. Yeah, no, that's it, public holiday.
So that's another term also we could use. I think like holiday has been shortened, but public holiday would be like the long version of it.
Just out of curiosity, are there many public holidays in South Africa?
Unfortunately not. I think we have, there are very few actually. Don't know off the top of my head, but it's not that many.
Like a Independence Day probably, right?
We don't have an Independence Day.
Oh, really? Surprising. I thought like every post-colonial country had Independence Day.
We have a Freedom Day. I think would that count?
Would that be the equivalent?
The equivalent would be Freedom Day, I think, for sure. We have Freedom Day, we have Human Rights Day, we have a lot of what we say struggle holidays. Heritage Day, you know, things that, Day of Reconciliation, you know, holidays that celebrate, as you said, our independence, our democracy, and yeah. So
similar to the States then, have like President's Day and Martin Luther King Day and these kind of things that celebrate, yeah, struggles, all the struggles that the Brits gave us.
Same.
Hey, let's not turn this podcast. But no, I totally understand. Obviously, I don't agree with all of that kind of stuff, but makes sense. Mm-hmm.
It's all history.
Yeah. I have a question. I think your question was quite interesting. Like, how many public holidays do you guys have? Like, how many? I think I counted it. We have about 10. I'm just curious.
I think in the US we have 11, which is a lot less than most countries, I believe. At least European countries. I know. Here in Spain, yeah, they have like a lot, don't they?
Yeah, that's why I was curious to ask, because today is one here, right, in Spain, and so was Monday. Yeah. And there are quite a few here, I find. In the UK, I'm not sure the exact number, but again, I don't think it's more than 10. Yeah.
So it says us English speakers, we're not big on holidays, are we? It's all work and no play.
We're big on summer holidays in the UK because the weather's so bad. Yeah. So everyone at least goes away for 2 weeks in the summer.
Has to escape to Ibiza or Mykonos.
Yeah. And when you're in Mykonos, you might have to go to the beach, or maybe you're lounging by the pool and you have to wear something that allows you to swim.
Nice transition.
Yeah, it was. Thank you. That led in really well. So what would you call this piece of clothing, Kazay?
We would call it a bather.
Ah.
Not so far from us. Well, I don't know if it'd be a bikini or a bathing suit. You probably weren't talking, okay, about a bikini, were you? Like a bathing suit, right?
Yeah, both. Anything you swim in is called a bather. So for guys too, actually. You could call it a bather too. Of course, we call them trunks or, you know, swimming shorts. We do have these differentiations, but yeah, we still call it a bather in general term. Yeah.
Yeah, I grew up like using the word swimming costume, which is kind of a bit long, I guess, now. I think people nowadays are more specific. So they would say like a bikini. Maybe they would refer to it as a one piece if they're not wearing a bikini. And then guys wear swimming trunks. But I always remember like, oh, you've got to pack a swimming costume or something like that.
That's so funny, because for us, it's like saying swimming costume, it makes you think a bit about like being in a Halloween costume that you can swim in or something like that.
Yeah.
But I guess it makes sense with the swim cap. You know, if you're wearing goggles, if you need the full outfit, then yeah. It makes sense.
And mm-hmm. A Halloween costume in South Africa, would you call that fancy dress? Like a fancy dress party?
We would not call it anything because we don't celebrate Halloween. Yeah. So we wouldn't have a name for it. But I guess, yeah, if we needed a term, we would just call it a costume. Mm-hmm. A fancy dress. Yeah, maybe. But we probably just a costume. Yeah, fancy dress costume.
Thing towards the American.
And our last word for today is still sticking with the theme of clothing. So this is a top that you would wear that doesn't have any sleeves. Do I need to give you more, or do you have an idea of...
I think I got the idea. It would be, in American English, a tube top, I think.
I think that one's slightly different. Is that the one that would go across?
Like a tube, right? So it's like one piece that's rather round and doesn't cover your shoulders or your arms.
This one covers just this part of your, like your shoulders like this, but it just doesn't have any sleeves. So it cuts off.
Mm-hmm. So a tank
at
top.
Your shoulders. Yeah, that's what I'm describing here. Yeah. What do you call this, Kazay?
We would call it a vest or just a strappy top. If you're, yeah, strappy top.
That's
or
amazing.
Vest. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, that one's really similar to us in the UK. We call, yeah, so the one that has like a thicker part covering your shoulder, we call it a vest. And then the same as you, like we would say a strappy top or a strappy vest. I've heard spaghetti straps
spaghetti
in the US.
Straps,
have
yeah.
you heard that?
Uh-huh. I've heard that
yeah.
as well. Yeah.
Yeah. If they're really thin. Yeah. And it's usually something guys would wear like under a shirt or something if they're wearing a suit, isn't it?
Yeah, that's one of the things. Or a vest could also be like a jacket. It's a type of jacket that doesn't have sleeves. It would be a vest.
Ah, yeah. What we would call a waistcoat.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Right?
Same. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It'd be a waistcoat here too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember having this conversation. I can't remember if it was on a podcast or just in private, Ethan, but I remember talking about like a waistcoat and you saying that it's a vest. Yeah, you don't use waistcoat, do you?
No, waistcoat is, there definitely exists that word, but I think that's another type of jacket. I'm thinking like maybe the ones that they wear, this could be completely wrong, but it makes me think of the jackets that they wear like in a piano recital, you know, where they have like the tail coats and they have to get it out of the way to sit down at the piano.
Yeah.
But that could be completely off.
The more old-fashioned ones.
And a tube top. Do you have like another word for that? Or would it be the same?
A boob tube?
Yeah, that's what we call it.
Very literal.
Yeah.
It's much better than tube top.
Because that's what it covers. We are quite literal, aren't we?
But like if you went to a shop, is that what you would ask for? If you're like looking to buy one or... would it sound a bit crass?
Yeah.
No.
It's the name of the top. There's no other name to describe it.
And what does tank top make you think of? Is there like any, does that mean anything else for you or?
A tank top. It's the same thing. But a tank top is something that we wear on the outside. So you'd wear it like you said, like a vest, like a t-shirt without sleeves. So we do call it a tank top too, but it's more common to say I'm going to put on a vest or I'm going to put on a strappy top. So like I said before, I think we know all of these American, you know, ways of saying it. We just choose to make it our own. So yeah,
it's always the Americans that we've spread our culture quite a bit, so we're definitely better off traveling, I think, than you guys are going to the States, where most Americans might be a bit ignorant to the differences. So now I feel much more educated if I run into any South Africans, that I won't have any mix-ups with the vocabulary.
Yeah, I learned some new words as well today. It was really interesting.
Yeah, same here.
Great. Well, dear listener, hopefully you've also enjoyed learning some different vocabulary. Let us know if you want us to make a video too. We'd love to get Cassie over on the YouTube channel. She's just in our first week with us, so we're trying not to overwhelm her too much, but it's very exciting to have another English speaker on the team from a different part of the world. So thanks so much for joining us this week on the Real Life English Podcast, and we look forward to seeing you soon. 1, 2, 3.
Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our 3-part power learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.